Lord. Indeed, it's a powerful name. And it's that name that we call on, Lord, as we think of the fires in Australia. And we pray, Lord, that you send your rain, that you strengthen the bodies of those who are fighting the fires, that you would just spare the lives, Lord, of those who are caught up. We ask for those who are in fear because of what they're facing, Lord, that you'd still their hearts and give them peace of mind, that you would save them, you would rescue them, Lord. And above all this, Lord, we pray for a rain, not only there, but yeah. We pray, Lord, for our farmers who are sitting with empty dams, who are looking at their cattle, who are dying. We think about the farmers who are destitute. Their hearts are broken by what they witness. And we know, Lord, you command the rains, and we ask it now, Lord, as we are gathered together to pray, you will send the rain on this beautiful country, that you would make everything new. You would refresh the soil, Lord God. You would restore the grass, Lord. And you'd give hope to the people who are broken at this time, Lord. You would be their hope. You'd be their salvation. You'd be their everything. Lord, we pray for the escalating tensions between the USA and Iraq. And we ask your will be done, Lord, that this won't spiral out of control and affect many lives, but that you would reign in that situation, Lord God, and your name will be lifted high. We pray for our people at home in this body, our Lord, who are facing situations they don't know what to deal or how to deal with. They don't know what tomorrow holds. But we thank you that you hold their tomorrow, that you in control, that you will make a way for them, Lord. We give you the glory because you got a beautiful name, but it's a powerful name. It's a name with authority, Lord. And we call on that name in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks to our team of two. Didn't they do a fantastic job with limited resources? It's good to hear Sharissa sing and to hear Brandon make those drums sing. I love the drums. But I love your voice too, Sharissa. It was really beautiful. Okay, so last week was the last Sunday of the new year. And guess what? That makes this the first Sunday of the new year. Well, it was last Sunday of the old year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. And we spoke to you about what? Resolutions, which everyone does. But we asked you to do things differently. Okay? Not to make a personal reservation like I'm going to give up gas cooling or lose weight or stop smoking or stop beating up the neighbor or whatever it is. You know, do those things. But if you want a personal resolution, make it, I'm going to read the Bible more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to serve at the church, I'm going to tithe, and I am going to join a life group. Those are good ones, okay. Everyone on board, okay, awesome. We asked you to really spend time with God and to hear what God's will is for you to do. What is it that you must get involved in 2020? You probably should have been involved in 19, 18, 17, 16, but we'll give you some grace. We've given you this year to get to do what God has laid on your heart. And we said this, if you want to be a better person in 2020, then do something that makes the world a better place. Let's take this personal thing and make it bigger. Let's make it so it affects other people. Let's take it beyond our walls. Let's take it into the streets, into our city, into our country, and into the world if need be. And everyone here, all of you, even the guys from Sedgefield, have got potential to change the world. You see. Or at least you got the potential to change a slice of the world, or to change someone's world. All those things matter. And we should be doing the things that God has laid on our heart. Because if He's put it on our heart, it is from God and He's counting on you because you are the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's counting on you to touch other people's lives. And this is what we should be doing as a church. This is what you should be doing as a believer anyway. Not just inward focused, but have an outward focus. And you might not even have to do it alone, because I know that scares you. How am I going to make a difference all by myself? See, what God does, He usually places the same dream or the same theme, let's say, in different people's hearts. So just start talking to people. Find out what God has laid on their heart. Join them. Often, more often than not, you'll find in a life group, because it's people God has brought together, He's given them more or less the same type of heart. So talk to your life group. If you don't belong to a life group, come see me after the service. It's free of charge, okay? And it's a good place to be. You're going to grow. And they would usually have the same thing on their heart. Then you can get involved as a team and do things together. It can't be too big for you, because nothing is too big for God. Now, this church is taking this concept of making an impact literally in 2020. For too many years, we've had a lot of an inward focus, and it's time we started moving beyond our walls. It's time we started doing things differently. We started doing things that make an impact. So we're going to be changing your world. We're going to be changing this world, and we're going to be changing the world as a church, and you are part of the church. So you are on board with us, but we also want you to have your own personal things that you're busy with. We may, okay? We may. Did you hear? May, not will, because otherwise some of you are going to come to me, especially the Kotzes, and say, when are we doing this? We may do things like the Week of Bounty, or a Good Neighbor Day, or a Bucket of Hope, or animal food drives, or nappy drives, or we will be supporting options, we will be supporting life community services. We might even get involved with some people who build houses for others, okay? We're busy working on that idea. And God has just laid something on my heart in the last few weeks. I've been dwelling on, I haven't even discussed this with my wife yet. Something about us planting trees, okay? And not just 2 trees, 500 trees, 1,000 trees. I don't know what that looks like yet, but God's stirring that in my heart. Now, is a tree going to get someone into heaven? No, but it gives us more time to get people into heaven because it gives off oxygen. So it's a good thing. Okay. So, you're going to be part of this stuff by being part of the body of Christ. And this is our list. But what's your list? What does your list look like? Do you have a list? If there's one item or one person on your list, that's awesome. That's great. But you've got to have a list. You can't just have another year like all the other years before that you did nothing. Come on, we've got to start touching people's hearts. I'm getting so excited, I want to dance. The problem that we got with some believers is, you know, they grow in Christ, they mature in the things of God, they become so spiritual that they're no earthly good, okay? And you've got to be spiritual, but you've got to put into practice what you've got from the time you spent with God. So if you don't know what you want to do, okay, first of all, get intimate with God. The intimacy should lead to activation, okay? You can't just spend time with God, grow yourself, and not impact anyone else. And I've called out some of these overly spiritual people, and they've got rather miffed at me because I said, look, it's cool. You know, you can pray for a revival, and you can want miracles and all of this, but are you touching people's lives? What are you doing with everything you receive? You become a hoarder of the Word and the power of God, and we've got to give the Word out and share the power of God by touching other people's lives, because that's what the Bible says, and this is what God expects. He expects it to be some sort of reaction to the action that you have spent, you have taken by spending time with Him. He's not interested in only you maturing. He's interested in the people who can be touched through you. And when I've called these people out, some of them aren't in the church anymore. You probably wonder, where's this one or that one? They were no earthly good. We've got to get practical. We've got to touch people's lives. We've got to be doing it for others and less for ourselves. And I'm getting to a point in my life where I realize God has gifted me in a certain way to touch certain people. But He's gifted me as well to motivate other people to exercise their gifts. So I'm going to be stirring your little gift pot for the whole year and the year beyond. And if you don't do something about it, we'll take out the spoon we're stirring with and give you a good whack so you start doing something with what God has given you. Otherwise, it's going to die in you and you're going to be one of those smelly Christians. You got everything, but you let it die. We should be giving out life, not the smell of death. We need to make it about other people. So, do we literally mean change the world? Well, yes and no, okay? Depends how big your world is. You see, even in the Bible, you look at guys like John and Peter and Paul, they all changed a portion of the world. Their obedience affected a sector of the world. You can go look at guys like Billy Graham and Reinhard Bonnke. They made the world a little smaller, but they impacted thousands, if not millions. So don't try and change the whole world, because the parameters then are too big. You've got too many borders you're fighting on. Narrow your world down just a little bit and impact the area that God has laid on your heart. When we aim too wide, we probably end up getting disgruntled and we lose hope and we have a sense of hopelessness because we're not making the impact we thought. Well, maybe you just made your world too big. Even Paul, even John, even Peter, even all the greats had a narrower focus, but they gave all to that part that God had laid on their heart. So, if you make your world a little smaller, it might be a group of people. It might be a person. It might be a project. It might be a situation. But it will be something that changes because you have heard God and become obedient to the Word of God. So you need to be spending time with God to hear what God has laid on your heart. Because we can't be hearers of the word only. It's time we become doers of the word. And that's why it says in Matthew 28, go. Because it's saying go and do something. It says go. Some translations actually say go into all the world and make disciples. The NIV says therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So first of all, you go, and then you go with the knowledge that God has gone with you. So how can you fail then? How can you fail if God has gone with you? Now God didn't say go and disciple the whole world. What he's saying is, where you are, where you find yourself, there in that place, make disciples. Because if you're obedient and you've heard God and you've gone to a place, there you make disciples. He's not saying go to Nigeria or go to China or go wherever. If God sends you there, you go, then you make disciples. But he could have said to you, you know what? Go home. Go to the mall, go to your work, go to the poor community, go to the rally site. Just hear me, go there and make disciples. We don't need to impact the whole world, but we got to impact the world that God has shown us. That is where we are at, where we've been placed. So what is all the nations then? Because yeah, it says I must go to all the nations. Some of you might go to all the nations. Okay? Not many people end up on the mission field because the greatest mission is always closest to where you're at. It's not usually far. God selects few people and sends them far. Most he uses on a local level and mostly close to your house. So you might have the nation of the poor in George, or the nation of the illiterate, or the nation of the homeless, or the nation of the businessman. We always tend to think in the negative and not look at the businessman, me, Jesus, just as much as the homeless person does. or the nation of the sick, or the nation of the unchurched, or the nation of the broken, or the nation of the divorced, or the nation of the single moms. I don't know what your nation is, but God knows, and when you spend time with Him, you will know, and that is where you focus. The biggest mistake we can make is trying to have a machine gun approach and just rattle off and hope we hit someone. Hear from God, get specific, and get involved with what God has laid on your heart. There are many nations, and they're on your doorstep. They're staring you in the face, just waiting for you to wake up, catch the heart of God, and to start doing something. And that is why last week we asked, what breaks your heart? What really troubles you? What is it that when you ride past or when you experience it, it just stirs you? What is that thing? That is likely your nation. That is where you're supposed to be involved. When you take on the whole world. Awesome, Andrew. Gaan kyk. Ek seker is reg, maar. Okay, Andrew. Your nation is limited to what God has laid on your heart. Taking on too much distorts the truth, distorts who you are and what you must become. It demotivates you and makes you think the world is too big for you and actually helps you place a limitation on God. Ultimately, God is only asking two things of you. In 2 John 6, verse 6, it says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Two things, walk in obedience and walk in love. So if you've heard God, and you're walking then according to what God has said, and you're walking with love, you're going to have a huge impact in someone's life. But we often forget the obedience part, because sometimes the obedience means we need to conform. We need to get out of our comfort zone, and we need to start doing things that might make us a little bit apprehensive or make us see things in ourselves that we know are not right and are going to impact what I need to do. But obedience brings blessing. Address the insecurity you find in doing what God wants you to do. Walk in love, and you're going to change lives. Now, I understand that some people want to make a huge difference. I'm one of them, okay? I'm one of them. I've got dreams. Man, if you knew my dreams, you'd be scared. I got big dreams because I serve a big God and I want to make this huge impact. But that's not right. Because then I lose focus of the small things that are making a big impact in other people's lives. And I tend to overlook the fact that, listen here, after 10 years, there's been changed lives. There's been this guy that didn't believe, and now they believe. This person who was baptized, that person who was healed, this person who's matured, this person who started a ministry. And you dream so big, you lose sight of the small. Let's focus on the small, because that makes a big difference. And it's got a snowball effect. You touch one, they touch one, they touch one. You see where I'm going? I want to be on a big stage. And I realize I am. You see, the big stage is in my home. The big stage is at Checkers. The big stage, the platform, is where God has placed me in that moment. I don't need to be in the George Herald. I don't need to take photos and post them on Facebook. Look what I've done. Okay? That really gets my goat. Okay? Sometimes it's good to testify, but not to get pride in what you have done. You see, your platform is where God has placed you, and you give Him the glory for what He's doing through you. Doesn't matter where you're from, how you got here this morning. What matters is what you're going to do when you leave here. Whose world are you going to change? What difference are you going to make out there? What difference are you going to make to those to you? Don't get so fixed on future events and future things you're going to do that you end up doing nothing in the present. Okay? Can you hear my heart where we're going as a church? We want to impact the community. We want to change this nation. We want to change your nation. We want to be people who, well, you know, man, I'm going to get ahead of myself. But I want the angels in heaven to go to God and say, look what they're doing again. Isn't that exciting? Let's send more to help them. Let's let them get a bigger impact. Have more power. Touch more people. Because that's what God has called us to do. But we want glory, don't we? We want people to know, look, I serve the Lord and I'm doing this and I've got the Holy Spirit in me and look how good I am. But the Word says, in Matthew 6, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, I don't even know. My left brain doesn't know what my right brain is doing half the time, so I'm okay, yeah. So that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't advertise what you're doing. Just get God's approval for what's happening in your life. He will reward you. That's what we should be after, not what people say. But let's look deeper at this verse. You know when it speaks there of this word needy? In the King James it says, thou dost give alms. Okay, thou dost give alms. Doesn't that sound so intellectual? Okay, means given to the needy for us South Africans. We are so quick to jump to the conclusion that what they're talking about is giving money to the needy. But this word needy, translated or alms, that's alms, A-L-M-S, not R, not these alms, A-L-M-S, actually means charitable acts or acts of compassion. In other words, whenever you're doing good, whenever you're doing good, it is all the things that we do. It is giving someone a hug. It is clothing someone, feeding someone, giving a word for someone, giving direction to someone, showing some sympathy for someone. All of these things are giving alms. It is honoring God. All these things. It's not a money issue, this. This is a heart condition, that you honor God with your life and the way you impact others. When you give to the needy, when you give, when you show compassion, when you share Jesus, when you love them, when you hug them, that is when we are making a difference. This same word is used in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is a Roman soldier. He's outside of the Jewish faith. But he decides, despite me being an outsider, despite me being the one who these people hate because I'm in control over them, despite all of that, I see the truth of their God. And not only am I going to follow this God, I'm going to let my life honor God. And he's doing good and he's going about making a difference and he has this vision. And it seems it was his first one because of his reaction. And in Acts 10 verse 4 it said, and he stared at him in terror. An angel appeared to him. Okay? In terror. He was afraid. This had never happened to him. Do you see when you start doing things for God, when you start spending time with God, then the things of God become a reality in your life. And you don't get afraid anymore. The next time he would have been expecting to say, oh, okay, this is natural. This is what is supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be living a naturally supernatural life. This stuff should happen. And he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Your prayers and your alms, all your acts of compassion, all your mercy, all your sympathy, all your love, all of that stuff that you've been doing. Not only have I heard your prayers, but I've seen what you're doing, and it's like a memorial offering to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. The word memorial comes from the word memorandum. It's as if there's a list being made. Okay? A memorandum of what Cornelius was doing. And like I said earlier, I can see an angel of the Lord going with his memorandum. Here it is. Look at those dudes in the Southern Cape. Look at what they're doing, Lord. And I want that type of report with God. I want what we do as a church, what you do as an individual, to be a memorial offering unto God. I want our lives to honor the Lord, because then we know we are touching other lives, and that is what we're called to do. We are called to be world changers. Your world might be one person. It might be a project, a situation, but you're called to change the world. What's stopping you? Give us volunteer. I just need to check my time here, because I'm on a roll and I could keep you here till 1 o'clock. Chris Volatoon is one of the assistant pastors at Bethel Church. He wrote an article, says the three core values of people who actually make a difference in the world. Okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, courage. Okay, let me ask you. If you were 10 times bolder, okay? 10 times bolder. You had 10 times more courage. What would you do? What would you change? If you thought of anything now, you failed the test. Because you should be doing it now. You don't need more. You've got everything you need. What's stopping you from achieving what you were thinking about is fear. Fear of the unknown, uncertainty of self, and a weak evaluation of who God is and what is able to do, that is limiting you. You don't have courage because you've replaced courage with fear. You've got nothing to fear. God is with you. You need courage. You know how many times the Bible says to angels come to people and say, be strong and be courageous. How many times? Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the knowledge of who God is, where you are at. And fear is probably the most socially accepted sin in the church. We've all suffered from some form of fear. Courage isn't a lack of fear, but it is rather the boldness, lacking the boldness to look fear in the eyes when it tries to intimidate you and telling fear, get lost, I've got God. That's courage. Replacing faith with fear. Replacing fear with faith. Okay, you'll have to edit that. Okay. Then the second one is risk. You see, the dogs of doom stand at your door of destiny, and they're yelping and barking and telling you, you can't do this, you're going to fail, and it's too big for you, and you'll never make a difference. And God is saying, take some risk. He's actually saying, just take a leap of faith. But that is risky, because you're leaping into almost the unknown. You know God will be there, but you don't know how it's going to look once you get there. But you got to take a risk sometimes. Sometimes you just got to build your faith a little bit, get out of the boat, walk the plank, whatever you want to do. Just get a little bit riskier. We don't ever achieve anything because we won't risk. We won't risk anything. We want everything to be comfortable, and I got to know this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Thank goodness I'm not that type of person. Ask my wife. I give her gray hairs. I just boldly go where no man has gone before, and I know God's going to be there. And I'm not afraid to fail. God will pick me up. He'll dust me off. He'll say, you know what? That was cool, but do it this way next time. Probably listen to your wife. But don't be afraid of failing. Those are lessons that grow you, that mature you, that prepare you for the next step. Take some risks. Trust God. Risk takers need to learn to entertain hopeful thoughts about your future, about the present, and about who God is and what He said He will do. In Isaiah 41 verse 10 it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you realize how many times God is saying, "I"? He's saying, "I, God, am going to be there for you. I'll hold your hand. I'll walk with you. I'll prepare the way. You're not in this alone. Just trust me." But if you're not willing to risk anything, you'll never learn to know how much you can trust God. Then thirdly, perseverance. And perseverance is it's like rooted in hope. You carry on because you know the outcome. You don't give up halfway. You don't give up when it gets a little bit difficult. You persevere because you know if God has laid this on your heart, He didn't say it's going to be easy, but He said, "I'm with you, and we will get to where we need to be together." But you got to persevere. Too many Christians give up. In Romans 15 verse 4 it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." So when the scripture said, "I can do all things," when the scripture says, "With God all things are possible," when the scripture says, "I am with you," that is my encouragement, that is my hope, that is what I cling to, and that is what people who are noble, who have integrity, carry on doing. They persevere in all circumstances, knowing that ultimately God is in control. Because we serve an awesome God, don't we? Amen. Okay, the rest of you might catch up later. As our praise and worship team, all two of you come back. I want to ask you, church, can we be world changers? Okay, should we be world changers? Are we going to be world changers? Yes, sir. I hope when the time comes to change, you're a bit more excited than that. Okay, let me ask everyone now. If you don't want to change the world, please stand. You check. Andy, you fuss, brother. No. God has seen this. You just made a declaration by staying seated. I'm a world changer. I know where I'm going because God is with me. I know the way maker is on my side. I'm walking straight because I'm walking with Him. I'm going to impact someone's life. I'm going to make a difference in 2020 like I should have been doing all my life, because I am not a docile Christian. I've got the power of God in me, and I'm going to share that power with the world. I'm going to change a life because that is what God expects of me. And you've all just agreed to that. So I'm terribly excited to see how your lives are going to look, what you're going to do. And when you face your first situation, when you got an opportunity to change someone's lives, are you going to do it or not? And I pray to see difference in you, in the ones close to you, and the ones who come into contact with you. Because this is what God expects of us, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that He has taught us, sharing that love, changing lives. That's my prayer for you. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that with You on our side, we are world changers. And we just ask now that, Lord, You show us our world. You show us, Lord, who it is, what it is, and how big our world is. And Lord, You teach us to walk in obedience. You teach us, Lord, to hear Your voice. As Your word says, Your sheep know Your voice. So speak to us, Lord, so we can hear. Help us to become doers of the word and not hearers of the word. Help us to change lives as You have changed ours through others, Lord God. Help us to be obedient and to walk in love. Holy Spirit, guide us, grow us, and show us the Father's heart. for all other people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.